I'm not quite a son of this congregation, but it feels a little bit like home because my parents, Hans and Rachel, have been members here for some time, and my older brother Eric and his family worships here, and through the years, my wife and kids and I have been able to worship with all of you. I've also connected with some of you through the Via de Cristo community, and I know from my experience here that this is a special place that eats well, and that's worth that's worth quite a few points as well. Is my microphone picking up okay? I, just by means of a bit further of an introduction, I was a pastor in Bemidji at Calvary Lutheran for some years. The last years, my wife and I have been in Texas, and we're currently preparing for a new call as Lutheran missionaries in Papua New Guinea. We will be teaching at a seminary over there, so sometime this winter or spring, when our paperwork comes through, we'll be heading off for that new call. And we thank you for your prayers as we prepare to go off in that direction. The announcements are listed in your bulletin. Are there any additions or corrections or any special announcements that should be brought to everybody's attention? If not, then I'll just encourage you to read through those so you know what Bible studies and other activities are starting up. Now we enter into worship by hearing a tolling of the bells, but we gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
our responsive prayer this morning, I get the R instead of the, no, I get the C instead of the R. You get the R. Our call to worship responsive reading of Psalms 111, 1 through 4 and 9. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Let us pray. Almighty God, you wonderfully created and dignity of human nature, and yet more wonderfully restored it. In your mercy, let us share the divine life of the one who came to share our humanity, Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
To a time of confession and forgiveness. The end of a year is a good time to look back and reflect on those burdens, sins, those places of brokenness and failure that weigh us down. And here in this prayer and this proclamation of God's promise, we receive deliverance, erasure, and a new start for the year. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We take some moments for silent prayer and confession. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives you all of your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, God gives the power to become children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. We respond to this gift with words of faith, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Join me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 61 and into 62. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. The gospel reading is found in Luke chapter 2. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, Now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people, and a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Let's pray the prayers of the church. We pray for guidance, O Lord. You have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as not yet trod, and through perils still unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we will go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the hungry and homeless, for the unemployed and underemployed, for those who work in giving relief, and for our own giving spirit, that we may not neglect the poor nor fail to provide resources to the church to fulfill the Lord's bidding and spread the gospel to every place. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy.
Well, I think I've already given you one more stretch break than Pastor Brad usually gives, but we'll have a second one. I invite you to stand, greet a neighbor, share the peace of God with those around you. If there's somebody you don't know, I invite you to greet them too. Peace, Amy. Peace. Peace. Peace be with you.
Thank you.
Warm hearts. Thanks, Greg. Good morning. God's peace. God's peace. Peace be with you. Good morning. God's peace. Peace.
God's peace. God's peace. Peace be with you.
It's not in the bulletin, but we'll have a little children's time. So anybody who wants to come up to the table on the side, please join me. You heard about alligators? Cool. Well, this is a time of year when lots of people get excited about different things. At this time, some of you maybe get excited about a school break. Anybody excited about that? Anybody excited about Christmas cookies? Or family reunions? Or Jesus being born? There are so many things to be excited about. Today we're also excited about a new year. But my question for you is, what do you do when you get excited? Do any of you, what do you do to show that you're excited?
Jump.
You jump? Okay, that's right.
I'm one.
You jump too. So we've got two jumpers here. My sister, when she gets excited, will sometimes go, woo, woo, like that. When I get really excited, I sometimes tap my toes. And my dad, sometimes when he gets really excited, he thinks about tapping his toes. So we all kind of show our excitement in different ways. I think we should see if we can get the congregation excited. One way to show excitement is by saying, hip, hip, hooray. So I'm going to say hip, hip, hooray once. Then you all say it with me, and then we'll all turn at them, at the people out there, and we'll see if they can say it kind of loudly. So I'll say it first, then our little group, and then all of you with us. Hip, hip, hooray.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Now all of you, hip, hip, hooray. Pretty good. Well, today we heard a Bible story about two people who got very excited. Their names are Simeon and Anna, and they got excited because they had been waiting for Jesus for a super long time, and finally he came. And they showed their excitement too. Simeon showed his excitement by picking up the baby and lifting up baby Jesus. And he started to pray and sing and thank God. And Anna, the other person who was excited, also thanked God and told everybody she could see about how special this baby Jesus was. So today the Bible story is teaching us, God is teaching us that it's good to be excited. We can show that excitement in many ways. We can be excited about lots of things, but the very best thing to be excited about is Jesus, who loves us so much that he went to the cross for us. So let's pray. I will say a short line and you can repeat it after me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus.
Thank you for sending Jesus.
We are amazed at your love.
We are amazed at your love.
Give us excitement.
Give us excitement.
To thank you.
Thank you.
And to tell others about you.
And to tell others about you.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Well, thanks for coming up. Phil has some nutritious fruit snacks. It says maybe no additives or not very many. No preservatives. Let's begin with a prayer. Jesus, what kind of gift are you? Amen. Here's my question, or my string of questions for today. Why exactly do we get excited about Jesus at Christmas? What features does this precious little baby boy come with? Does Jesus live up to the glitz and the hype of the season? What is this Christmas gift that churchy people like to talk about? Well, at Christmas, of course, Jesus is the gift who seems perfect in every way. He's an adorable baby, all smiles and peaceful sleep. He even inspires that Christmas hit that has the line, "The little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes." Who knows, maybe he even comes potty trained. As the father of a 2-year-old, I'd gladly take one of those. At Christmas, Jesus is such a wonderful gift that the angels create a commercial about him for the shepherds. The night sky fills up with brilliant light. The angel messenger describes the gift of Jesus in a powerful, excited voice. Jesus is good news, the angel announces. Jesus is great joy. Jesus is a savior. Jesus is born to you. And then the sky lights up with sound as a whole choir of angels bursts into song, "Glory to God in the highest heaven." If you were to Google the baby Jesus online, you'd find 5-star reviews all day long. At Christmas, Jesus is the gift that doesn't disappoint, and we know how rare that is. When the shepherds run off to Bethlehem, they find everything just as the angels had told them. The shepherds tell Mary and Joseph about the angel's message, and everyone is amazed. Mary treasures the shepherds' words. The shepherds return home glorifying and praising God. Jesus, it turns out, is the gift that draws a crowd of admirers. Jesus is the gift who makes everyone happy. Jesus is the gift whose sparkle doesn't fade. What kind of gift is Jesus? Jesus is comfort and peace. Jesus is God's presence and favor. Everything that I've said about Christmas is true, except maybe those parts about Jesus not crying and Jesus not making poopy diapers. Jesus is a gift worth being excited about. But today, and in the church year that is to come, we realize that there's much more to the gift of Jesus than we realize at Christmas. Jesus is the gift who doesn't fit in a box. Jesus is the gift whom you can't figure out in a single day. Jesus is the gift who surprises and changes us. Jesus is the gift who is stranger and better than we first think when we receive him. Of course, this is why the Gospel of Luke doesn't just end with the Christmas story. The Christmas story, like any good story, is just the beginning. Now, the Gospel of Luke tells us more about Jesus as a baby and child than any other book in the Bible. We still don't have a whole lot of details about Jesus' early days, but we have a few bits. Luke tells us how Jesus was circumcised and officially given his name when he was 8 years old. That's in keeping with Jewish law. And then Luke moves forward a couple more weeks to the story that my dad read earlier. Now Jesus is a little over a month old. His mother Mary has completed a time of purification. Women who gave birth in this culture were required to have around a month or two, depending on if it was a boy or girl, to be purified ritually. Now that this time has been passed, Mary and Joseph come to Jerusalem, and one of the Jewish religious customs is to present an offering in thanksgiving to God for this firstborn child. Mary and Joseph probably expect a quiet, routine visit. They would leave their offering, maybe make some small talk with the priest, smile for a couple of pictures, and head home. But this is not what happened. Jesus' trip to the temple is disrupted by a couple of excited strangers, as we've already heard about in the children's time and in the reading. One of them is named Simeon, and the other is Anna. Both Simeon and Anna are faithful, older Jewish people. Both of them have waited for their whole lives, for the Messiah to come from God. Both of them are tired of the heaviness and the suffering that goes with being Jewish in this time and place. And both of them show up by God's leading at the temple to make a ruckus, to show their excitement about this Jesus. Simeon is so bold as to snatch that baby from his mother's arms, probably in a way that made Mary frown. Simeon lifts Jesus up high and starts singing and talking about this baby. And Anna, too, who has been fasting and praying in the temple for decades, she praises God and grabs the shoulder of anybody she can find to tell them how special this Jesus is for those who have been waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Mary and Joseph must have been amazed and maybe confused at all this uproar. They knew Jesus was special, but this is more than they had bargained for on Christmas Eve. What kind of gift is Jesus? Well, Simeon and Anna show us that this baby is more than a cute face in a manger, more than a Christmas card made by Thomas Kincaid. I want to highlight two things that Simeon and Anna teach us. First of all, Jesus is the gift who does not belong to you. Or more precisely, Jesus is the gift who does not only belong to you. Now let me explain this. This might be a tricky point, but it's important. The Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus is a gift for Jewish people. Simeon announces that Jesus is for the glory of Israel. Anna says that Jesus is the one who brings redemption for Jerusalem. In other words, Simeon and Anna proclaim that Jesus is Israel's anointed one. God gives Jesus for the sake of his special chosen people that follow that family line from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph and so many others. God gives Jesus because he does not abandon the promises that he made way back in the Old Testament. Now, why does this matter? Am I trying to make a hint about what foreign policy should be? Is God's word trying to persuade us to have a certain opinion about the war in Gaza between Israel and Hamas? No. Contemporary politics are important, but they are not the point of this story. Well, then, is God's word telling us to become Jewish? No, not that either. God is using Simeon and Anna to do something else, and I think it's something like this. God is humbling Christians like us and showing us where and how our salvation comes to us. As Jesus says, salvation is from the Jews. So if you're not Jewish, like I'm not Jewish, that means that we're outsiders to the gift of Jesus, at least at first. We are Gentile Christians, and we sometimes fail to understand this. We sometimes think that we Christians have replaced the Jews, that God has moved on from them. We think that Jesus is mine, 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 like my kids like to say. We think Jesus is our personal property, a sign of our special superiority. But God's word confronts us here. Jesus is a gift for the Jewish people, and it is only this Jewish gift who saves us Gentiles. It is this Jewish gift, this Jewish Jesus, who becomes a gift for you and me, for Americans, and for all nations. When God chooses Abraham in the book of Genesis, God makes this clear. God says, I will make of you a great nation, and in you all the nations of earth will be blessed. And Simeon says the same thing in our reading. He says, Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory for your people Israel. Simeon and Anna teach us that this is how we Gentiles are saved. We are grafted into the tree of Israel. And we can learn gratitude and humility in this. What kind of gift is Jesus? There's a second hard thing that Simeon and Anna teach us. and it is this: Jesus is the gift who disrupts. Even more, Jesus is the gift who stabs. Do you remember what Simeon said to Mary and Joseph through the leading of the Holy Spirit? At the end of Simeon's words, he turned to the parents and said, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign who will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the strange and unsettling kind of gift that Jesus is. Jesus doesn't just bring a silent night. He also brings conflict and sorrow. Jesus is the gift who knocks down those of us who are successful, strong, and unrighteous, self-righteous. Jesus is the gift who raises up those who are poor, humble, sick, and sinful. Mary sang about this even before Jesus was born. Mary sang, "God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly." And when you read through the Gospel of Luke, you'll see how much this happens. You'll see how Jesus is the gift who makes us uncomfortable. "Blessed are you who are poor," says Jesus. And when Jesus meets religious people who are full of themselves, Jesus rebukes them and us. Jesus says, "I have not come to call the righteous but sinners." Jesus is this gift who provokes and offends. And of course, Jesus doesn't just wound those one percenters, those up on a pedestal who are rich and self-righteous. Jesus goes after all of us, even Mary. Listen to those last words again from Simeon. Up until that moment, Mary must have been so happy that her son would be a blessing to her people. But then God's word turns on her. Simeon tells Mary, "A sword will pierce your own soul too." Here is a preview of what is to come. Jesus is the gift who will bleed, suffer, and die. Jesus is the gift who brings suffering too to those who love him, to his mother, to you, to me. This Christmas, you have received a gift. What kind of gift is this Jesus who has been given? Well, he's the gift that gives us some whiplash. Jesus is the gift who wounds and heals, accuses and forgives, brings division and peace, puts us to death, and raises us up. As you enter into this new year of 2024, God gives you this and only this gift. Jesus is the gift who will grow with us through the new year as he becomes not just a baby, but a child and a man. Jesus is the gift who fulfills God's promises to Israel and to you. Jesus is the gift who messes up our lives. Jesus is the gift whom we cannot return. Jesus is the gift, it turns out, who has purchased us. Jesus is the gift who saves you and the groaning creation. Jesus is the gift you can be excited about. Thanks be to God. Amen. you, Briella, for that offering of music. A wonderful way to show our thanks to God, especially with that Alleluia chorus. Let's enter now into this closing time of prayer as we ask for God's healing, protection, and help. I'll invite you at the end of these prayers to join me with the Lord's Prayer. God, we give you thanks for your servants, Simeon and Anna. Thank you that you keep your promises and that the longing of all your people is fulfilled. Give us joyful hearts so that we can receive your Son, Jesus, with gladness, thanksgiving, and by sharing the news with others. Help us to receive this Son of yours as the whole complex person he is, the person who is peace, the person who changes us, the person who is our salvation. God, today we also give thanks for the past year and the year that is to come. We bring you all that was good about 2023 and all that disappointed us. We ask that we might enter into this new year with hope, knowing that you lead us and go with us in all things. We also pray for this congregation, all those here, and the particular needs that we have. We pray for those in need of healing, those who are hospitalized, those who face difficult diagnoses. We pray for those who are dying. We take a moment of silence now to name those we know who need your special care. God, we also pray for those in this congregation who are celebrating milestones like birthdays and anniversaries. We pray for those who are working and in harm's way during this holiday time. Protect police officers, those in the military, those who keep our roads safe. We thank you, God, for hearing all of these prayers. We commend these and those that are unspoken into your hands. And now we join in praying the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand as you're able and join in singing our closing song of worship, Hope for Everyone. Hear the angels sing.
There is hope for everyone to announce our King. There is hope for everyone. What good news they bring. There's hope for everyone.
receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious Lord.
Thanks be to God.